The chairperson will open a quarterly is delayed. Committee will now proceed to electing an active chairperson. Is there any nomination? Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Any further nomination? No further nomination. The City Council is therefore elected as the acting chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Khorram Khuluzi Dupati. I'm calling the whip for the committee. Mr. Dazana has told me to indicate that the chairperson that is going to be late, and I requested that has that figure of Africa has been invited as a year. We can't send them back. So we will have to start. And on that note, I want to welcome everybody. I think that we do have the president of Cricket South Africa here, and he introduces the delegation, and we will also ask members to introduce themselves so that we can know who is who in the zoo. But one issue which I want to raise here, Honorable President, normally presentations, we need to get them 7 days before so that we can go through them. We understand that we can also to engage properly and to prepare ourselves. Now, I've been informed that we only received these things yesterday, and I hope that in future it's not going to be the case, so that we can really understand each other. After the introduction, we will request Cricket South Africa to brief us about such a lot which is in the papers and some of the things you can't even say them or raise them here, so that we understand. And when we are confronted with questions, that we respond from an informed position. And also, the issue of development in cricket. How far have we taken cricket in this country? Are we visible in the rural areas? Are we visible in the town areas and what have you? The governance of cricket. How are things there? And so that we get it from the horse's mouth direct. So we will appreciate an open discussion with each other. There will be questions for clarity and also for things. I don't think that we should take those things personal. It might be over the times, but it might be. Doesn't mean anything that is meant to hurt us or anybody. With those few words, for the introduction of the team president, and then we come to members and then decide. Tell us.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, members. I'm here together with the Vice President of Cricket South Africa, Dr. Peter Seisser, on my left, and the CEO of Cricket South Africa, Harold Ogard, on my right. My name is Tristan Zane. I'm the President of Cricket South Africa. I think for now, Chairperson, I think it's in order for us to apologize that we did not have representation in due course. I think we were not made aware that you wanted this to sit with you perhaps for about 7 days. In future, if you not have been, Chairperson, I can assure you of that. Thank you.
Can we quickly, Honorable McKenzie, go down for members of everybody around the table? Thank you.
McKenzie, I'm a member of this Sport and Rec Portfolio Committee.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Anna Stein. I'm a member of another portfolio, but we are just assisting you today.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Peter van Aalen. I'm also a member of another portfolio committee, but we are assisting you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Khaisi Musi. I'm from the Northwest. I belong to the Scorpio Committee. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning. My name is G.S. Sindane, a member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mulebuchen Christina Dube, but well known as Grace Dube. That's a brief way of telling you. Thank you. Member of the committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Humaya Khan. I'm the Chief Operations Officer at Sport and Recreation South Africa.
Good morning, members. My name is Onke Mujo. I work for the Department of Sport and Recreation South Africa.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. Honorable President, I think we can start now. Thanks.
Thank you, President. Firstly, it is an honor for us as South Africa to come and give a briefing at this very important committee in our parliament. We believe also it is an attempt and also an opportunity for us to account to the nation on how we run cricket in this country. And therefore, we take this opportunity very seriously. As we have made it the point that even if we have other very pressing matters, therefore we make it a point that we come here to brief you properly on the matters that you want us to brief you on. I understand your greater person to the same. Before we go to the presentation that we have prepared, first we need to talk about issues that are becoming topical in the country and also internationally, more especially relating to the restructuring and also the restructure process that is taking place within the ICC. We have prepared our presentation such a way that that will be the last item that we talk about. But since you have wanted us to project it early on in this discussion, we are gladly obliged. I think on the slide there...
Sorry, I think let's start where I prepared your presentation, okay. And then we bring that in line.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then on that score, what we'll do, we will allow the CEO to take you through the presentation. And what I would briefly say is that the last time we were here, that was August 2012, we came here at the time where we had an acting CEO and an acting president. And we were at that time in the middle of restructuring ourselves as South Africa. And it was during that time that we came here to give a briefing to Parliament to this important committee. And subsequent to that, we had an AGM on the 2nd of February 2013, where we elected the current board. And the current board came out after a process, especially the investigation led by the Judge Chris Nicholson, on the matters of restructuring and matters of governance within CSA, taking into account the challenges that we were experiencing at the time, the contextual problems that we're facing. Now what you do have in place, that is a board that is an outcome of the process, where you have a component of non-independent directors coming from cricket, 7 of them, and also you have the president and vice president. Then you have independent directors, which are drawn from a variety of skills within the corporate world. The attempt, therefore, is to give in an input within cricket where you have a component of independent thinking that is going to be looking at the interests of the cricket organization, probably creating a sense where you have an independence of thought within that organization. So what we have now, we have a board that has been in place for practically a year now, and that board has been dealing with a number of challenges. And we believe that we have set the standards in terms of governance for sport in this country. And we believe that we continue to face the challenges that we encounter along the way, in the sense that we are able, as an organization, to deal with those challenges in a manner that is in the best interest of cricket and also is in line with best governance principles around the world. So that's where we are currently, Chairperson.
And I'll allow the CEO to talk into the presentation. There will come question time for him to deal with some of these matters. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, President. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the President and for the introduction. The brief that we were given was to provide you with some insights into our strategic plan, the annual report that we produced for the past financial year. The point you referred to in terms of our development programs is a key part, a key component of our business. We think that's quite serious, and I've got quite a bit of content to share with you on that. And then we just touch on the aspect of governance, which Cricket South Africa certainly faced in a serious way in the years gone by, but have made some good progress, so we touch on that. And importantly, the last aspect, which is very, very topical from an international cricket perspective, the restructuring of the ICC, the International Cricket Council, and the implications for us. So that was basically the agenda that we've had. The annual report, Mr. Chairman, is a copy in the pack, and we are very, very proud of the fact that we're the first non-corporate organization that has produced an integrated report. It's quite transparent, it's very impressive, it's in your pack, and there's a lot of information which we would be happy to follow up as well if there's any questions that you might have of it. But it's your typical annual report that spells out the whole business of cricket, and some of that I will touch on through this presentation. Our AGM was held on the 12th of October last year. It was a delayed AGM as a result of the various restructuring efforts that were made around the new board, and that was, if I say it myself, it was a successful one. So, yeah, I think you might have been there. There were the minister was certainly present, and there were certain other stakeholders who attended, and there were some good remarks following the annual general meeting. Of course, that in itself is not sufficient about explaining the challenges that we've got. I list here some focus areas in that slide number four, which are close to our operation, the grassroots development. We're challenged by the economics of sustaining cricket, of growing cricket across the country at all levels. We're certainly moving along a track where we're trying to align the governance of our individual members with that of Cricket South Africa, because we've made good progress in adopting a new memorandum of incorporation, and we want to align each of our affiliates with that as well. And we started to focus meaningfully in terms of ensuring there's an Africanization of our cricket. We're not satisfied with the amount of black African talent in particular. We focused on that area. We've got some early successes, but we've got a way to go, and I'll touch on that. We certainly, in the recent year, raised the profile of women's cricket. It's an area that we're focusing on. I'll talk some more about that. And then in terms of representation, we are very, very determined to make sure that we geopolitically align all of our stakeholders on the Members Forum of Cricket South Africa. The President has talked about the board. I won't refer more to that. In the annual report, Mr. Chairman, there's of course revenue, which is key to any business. And in a sporting environment, it is fundamental. We cannot achieve development, we cannot achieve the kind of joy that we want to provide to the nation if we haven't got the revenue to achieve those objectives. The major income streams for cricket arise from those five areas, the first one being the most significant, and that is we package our rights and we sell it internationally. The challenge that we've got is that this is received on a cyclical basis. So we have some good years, and we have some years that we are challenged because we don't have enough revenue to meet the cost. We have loss-making years, and we've got profit-making years. Domestic sponsorship is also important. There's a list of our key sponsors. We've got some good partners. We've managed to settle well with them. They were obviously concerned in the years gone by, but in recent times, they've come on board, and they certainly support us. They've indicated to us their satisfaction with the way we're governing, with the way we're administering. And I think it's fair to say that we've got a very, very good relationship at the moment. In fact, there's a lot of potential for other sponsors to come on board, and we're busy working with that because, as we all know, without the revenue stream, we certainly cannot deliver the objectives that we set out to achieve. We receive a fair amount of money from what is known as the Champions League, the 2020 League, which is a partnership with Australia and India. at the tripartite arrangement we've got, and every year we receive a substantial amount of dollar-based revenue from that source. And of course, in the global ICC events that we play, there's a World 2020 coming up in March of this year, and we will get, following the successful delivery of that event, a distribution or a dividend from the ICC. And then we have a few other sources of revenue like ticket sales, interest, and forex gains. At the moment, of course, the exchange rate, that reason is higher, because when we return the dollars into the country, we get a little bit more than we originally budgeted for. But certainly the expenditure is a little graph there which gives you the majority of our expenses. Half of our income goes into the ticket part, fuel tickets. I'm not sure why on the slide it is category name and percentage, but not recorded. The red block is what we spend on the national team. And then there's also that little green block there, which is part of the cost of administering all of our professional cricket and the national team. But the majority of our money is spent on cricket. There's the head office cost that we've obviously incurred for purposes of administering the game. And then the Champions League and other services, which is our stadium costs, our prize money, and so on, makes up roughly 18% of our expenditure. So that's a graph to share with you to give you a sense of where money goes. The financial results in the last financial year, which ended 3rd of April 2013, the audited revenue was 521 million. Our expenses were 700, and this is a reflection of a year in which we don't generate enough money to carry the cost base. It's a reality. We've got good years, we've got bad years. So the net loss in the last financial year was 133 million. We do have cash reserves, and so you have seen in the previous year we had 475, but because of the loss in the last financial year, we roughly 300 million in terms of cash, and that needs to sustain us in that year as well. It's a cycle that you need to understand. We run it on a 4-year cycle, because over a 4-year period, the good years and the bad years, the good tours and the bad tours balance out, and therefore we look at a 4-year budget. So over a 4-year cycle, we are positive. And in terms of revenue over that 4-year period, we expect to generate 2.3 billion, sorry. And in terms of expenses, it's the number 2349, leaving us with a net surplus of 286 million. Because we do generate interest and foreign exchange gains, which we can anticipate. So at the moment, cricket is in a stable situation from an economics point of view. But having said that, I'll alert you later on to the challenges that we've got of sustaining the game of cricket, because the costs are rising and the revenue is not rising at the same rate. So it's a piece of work that we've already tackled. So in summary, the key points on the finances, we've got a 4-year cycle, we've got good years with India and England tour, and then we've got 2 years of loss making when some of the other countries might tour us. They just do not generate enough money to pay for expenses of that particular year. I've mentioned the commercial partners are quite satisfied with the way we're running and their involvement. They certainly look to increase and improve their current situation. And the last point is a critical one where we need to make sure that we're able to sustain the game. It's calling for us, and we've started the process of looking at how we're going to re-engineer, because the costs are rising at a greater level than the revenue. A lot of our provincial affiliates are loss-making. That depends to a great, in fact, I would say entirely, they depend on the distributions that come from cricket South Africa, and that's not sustainable. In terms of strategy, Mr. Chairman, and just as a foreigner, I should have said, there's a bit of on the slides, there's good information, and I may not necessarily talk to them, but any questions I'm happy to ask, to answer. The vision is clear. We want to be a truly national sport, and we want to be successful. We want to have a winning national team, because we know what it does to the psyche of the nation. We know what it does to generating future revenue. We know how important it is at the international level to have a winning national team. And we're fortunate at the moment with a strong national coaches team. There's a few key issues in terms of objectives. In terms of transformation, it goes without saying. And I must confess that I was proud, although I don't take too much credit, because I inherited that situation. We're moving forward at hopefully a faster pace, but I was proud when the minister at the annual general meeting complimented us for the progress we have made on transformation. We're not satisfied. Perhaps I will say that you may not be satisfied. That's an area that we certainly put a lot of effort in, and we want to increase it and share with you some of what we're doing. In terms of the challenges that we face, Mr. Chairman, in the pack, there is towards, I think it's tab number 5, we list very, very clearly and detailed what we see as our challenges and what action we attempt to take against it. And these slides that follow is just some of them, and I'll highlight a few of them. The second bit on that slide is representation. We're serious about it. We want to make sure that we access all of our population, all the way in the rural areas. We are, of course, limited by resource, but we're not using that as an excuse. This year, following an Indaba, a transformation Indaba, and we used the word transformation in a broad sense. We didn't only see it as representation. We wanted to transform the entire business of cricket. And one of the items that came out of it was a program where we based, where we created targets for all of our affiliates, all of our franchise teams, and we said to them that this year we will incentivize you in terms of ensuring that you have proper representation, particularly African players. And if we do not succeed on an incentive-based program this year, the next year we talk about pension. No engagement with the Department of Education, the second last bullet. It's an area which I think we must seek to develop and improve on. We think there's opportunity for us to work with the Department of Education. We have not yet secured a meeting. It's something which we certainly will do. But we think there's an opportunity where we can, together with Sports and Recreation, the Department of Education, and our fellows, we can create more opportunities in the schooling environment so that people can stick to the game of cricket. The last bullet is an important one as well. The transformation in Ghana highlighted the need for us to record our history. At the moment, we think that the gap in terms of recording a complete history for black and white cricket. There's a rich history in terms of black cricket, and we've gone a long way already. There's thousands of pages of manuscripts recorded, and hopefully we should be able to publish within the next year or so. We've got a transformation fund, which we apply strategically. It's a 10 million grant allocation. We use that selectively, but that's part of what we will use to incentivize the progress, the accelerated progress of black African players into the system. On this one, Mr. Chairman, the strategic or business challenges, I've spoken about the fluctuating revenues. The second bullet is an important one. This past year, or this past series where Pakistan and India visited, we managed to get the SABC deliver live content to the nation. Just to give an example, through Super Sport, we probably get, say, 700,000 viewers watching. On SABC, we get like 2 million. So it's important for us in terms of spreading the game, in terms of getting people to have access to the game of cricket, watching it live on television, that we get SABC as a partner. Now, in the years gone by, we were battling. But we were fortunate in that this year we managed to get the SABC to come on board, and there's no doubt in terms of developing the game, in terms of spreading the game, in terms of communicating what cricket is all about, SABC is an important one. The other one which I will draw your attention to is the issue of possible regulatory changes that would impact our revenue. I'm not familiar with the detail, but I know there are discussions that have commenced with respect to the subscription-based TV in terms of preventing them from certain issues. As I said, I don't know the detail, but the impact would be for us if we are not able to ensure that the likes of Super Sport have got the kind of access that they want, that they can buy from us the rights that we want to sell. Now, we certainly want to sell to SABC as well, and we've got a very good arrangement between Super Sport and SABC, which we insist upon Super Sport, so that SABC has access to it. But the reality is, SABC cannot pay for us what the value of the rights are. And therefore, Super Sport is an important partner for us. And there's debates going on about it. I don't know where that would end. I think in the early days. The other one, of course, you may be familiar with as well, is the debates going on in terms of advertising for alcohol. SA Breweries is a partner of us. They're a sponsor. And we're, of course, watching that space. Because if they were prevented from advertising or taking sponsorships in sports, then that means we would lose a potential or a long-standing partner Eddie Breweries has been 20 years with us already, and we think they will be in it for longer term as well. To give you a sense of development, at the segment, which I think is close to our heart, believe me, it's close to ours, we have we've got a very defined process and a structure in which we develop our talent from the bottom up. I'm not going to go through all of the details, but at the base we've got what we call the KFC Mini Trigger Program. There's 100,000 plus kids that play every weekend in terms of that, and that's softball cricket. And each of those arrows will indicate you the migration from one sort of frame into a next level, all the way up to the projects at the top. So it's a very structured program that we've got. We try to take the opportunity at the base as far and wide as possible, and we try to narrow it down, and it's only the best talent that we want to play in the national team, because that's seriously competitive stuff. That's international standard, and at the moment, we seem to be successful in it, barring the fact that we want to accelerate the progression for Black Africans even further. Now, on the right-hand side, you'll see those support services and programs, mentoring and so on. We have just formed with one of our sponsors, Sunfoil, an education trust. Because we think one of the impediments to disadvantaged kids coming through the system is their inability to sustain an education, or they're forced to go and work once they've got a commitment time to developing their talents in the game of cricket. So we have formed a education trust. We're fortunate the Archbishop Ngungani is one of the trustees, he's accepted, and Pinky Maholi is a trustee. So those are two independent trustees that we've got. And the purpose of that trust is to provide scholarships or bursaries to those cricketers who want to generate their talent in cricket as well as their education. Because what happens is the third component of the demand of the time is that they're not going to work. Because for them to study, or for them to be able to go and play the game of cricket, they need to generate money. And they don't have the resources, and hence why we've got this scheme that we've just launched a couple months ago, and the first bursaries will go out shortly. But the point here, Mr. Chairman, is that we've got a very structured approach to developing, and it's working for us at the moment, barring the acceleration that we want. In terms of funding, we've got some 41 million that is spent per annum in terms of development. There's a chart there which shows you more or less where the money goes. We've got it in club cricket, in school cricket, in regional programs, in women's cricket, and then of course the green on the right is the call of the academies or the centers of excellence that we use to develop talent. The focus in terms of development, as I said, we're not completely satisfied. We think we can do better. We certainly seem to have opened the channel this particular year. We're very, very clear in our minds that if we want to remain the number one team in the world, we have to access the entire nation. There's a lot of talent in our country, and we've got to do it. The research shows, and in your back on the slide number six or folder number six, there's some research that we provided you with where we've discovered the challenges that is impeding disadvantaged cricketers from coming through. And we've managed to put programs into place from about August of the past year, where we're seeing, we're unblocking those things that hinder talent of particularly Black African players. And I've spoken about the Sunfoil Education Trust. Incidentally, we've got 1.5 million from the sponsor already committed in that bus, and we think we'll be able to supplement it by about 700,000 per annum. And the trick there is we've got them to pay 1,000 rands for every 4 runs scored and 2,000 rands for every 6 that is scored in a test match. So we're able to generate over the term of the sponsorship, which will be another 3, 4, 5 years, and hopefully we'll extend it beyond that, but we think we'll be able to generate this plus by 700,000 per annum, which we will use to provide support for those aspiring cricketers who want to study as well. In terms of the schools and youth, I supply you with that information. There's a lot of schools that we sustain. There's a lot more that we need to access, but our resources obviously limit us, and hence why I mentioned that we would like to team up with the Department of Education to access more schools and to be more successful in the area. There's a slide that provides you with the representation of cricketers from schools amongst all of the age groups. On the right-hand side, the selectors representation, half of it is Black African. We've got, I think, if I say it boldly, Mr. Chairman, and it's not where we want to be, but I think in terms of representation, we've made enough progress. We've still got a way to go, but I think we're in good space in terms of whether it's administrators, whether it's selectors, whether it's managers, whether it's coaches. We've got a good representation, and I think we have the cut of watching players coming through to the national level. Senior cricket, there's some information for you as well. The under 19 World Cup starts about now. In fact, the first warm-up match was played yesterday by the under 19 team. Their first competitive match starts on Friday the 14th. They play their first competitive match against the West Indies in Dubai. On the right-hand side, there's some past performances. Our under 19, indeed, none of our teams have won an international event. And that's something which plagues us. We'd be desperate to win something. But like I said to the national team, let's remove the desperation because perhaps that's what's preventing us from winning it. Let's just go out there and do our best because we are being up. Let's see how the under 19 features, but the final will take place on the 1st of March in Dubai. And we're hopeful that they come off successfully. The profile of that team is an indication of the future. We've got four Black African players in there. We've got five players of color, so nine of the 15, purely on merit, having come to our development programs, are now players of color. And I think it's a statistic that we're proud of, but I'm repeating the service part of it. We've got more to go. The squad is there for your information, and as I said, all selected on merit. In terms of the women's team, there's a good makeup there as well. We've got six black players, we've got seven whites, we've got one black African that is now coming into the game. That's the women's squad. We've managed to get them to Doha. There's a resourcing limitation which we've managed to unlock. We've now got six women players contracted on a full-time basis. For the first time this year, we've got a coach who's also been contracted on a full-time basis. We're starting to focus a bit more on providing the women with the kind of support and the profile and the playing opportunities that they deserve. Some information in terms of statistics for the coaching and the training that we do. There's nearly 7,000 coaches that we've now put in the system. Every year we qualify some more. Of course it needs resources and we spend a bit, but there's some 7,000 coaches at different level. Level 4 is the most senior level and we've got 67 of those coaches in the country. Mr. Chairman, there is little doubt about our need to consistently and continually improve our performance. Sport is all about winning. And if we don't start at the bottom and throughout the system, we won't be the winning nation that we want to be. We've just invested and completed 3 million rand in terms of a center of excellence, the bottom picture, which is housed in Pretoria. And that's the facility which will launch on the 13th of March. It's completed. There's a few touches to do, and it will be launched on the 13th of March. That is the center of the next slide, which is the regional academies or the academies that we've got across the country. We've got at every affiliate. So in Cape Town there will be an academy. In Port Elizabeth there will be an academy, and so on. And they all feed in through to the center of excellence in Pretoria. Two important pieces, I mean, blocks the whole Air University. That's a specific center that we've added. We're looking to develop in particular Black African talent, and we are busy formalizing an arrangement with the University of Johannesburg and UNISA to do a similar thing, where we want to holistically develop our players so that they can be complete cricketers, more than simply able to play the game of cricket. So this slide is for information. It is, again, how we work towards the center, which is the excellence that we seek. We've got regional, we've got EDU, we've got learnership programs, we've got certificates, diplomas, all sorts of things in the system that we want to offer our aspiring cricketers. It's fair to say that something has to be working because we are the number one team in the world. But having said that, we do have challenges in terms of development. We still think we're losing some players in terms of not having the best conversion rate from the mid level all the way to the top. And we've noticed that in particular amongst the Black African players, we lose more. So the dropout rate is greater
amount of that component. And that we've discovered is partly due to the fact of socio-economic circumstances, and hence why we created the Sun Soil Education Trust. Because for them to commit time to be able to practice and do home skills, it means they can't go to work or they can't go study. Because they've got to work to be able to generate money to go study. And that's what we want to supplement. Some more on terms of our development challenges. We think that amongst some of our regional centers, there is insufficient quality of administration or governance, which leads to a focus outside of the field, outside of the coaching, outside of the development, because they caught up in boardroom activity and so on, and we've been getting quite tough with that. And it started at Trick South Africa, and I talked about aligning the MOIs. We've been sitting about that. We by the next AGM of Cricket South Africa, we should be around about August of this year. We want all of our affiliates to be aligned in terms of their constitutions and their governance structures so that they operate in tandem with Cricket South Africa. Some information in terms of the development that we're doing. The picture on the left is the current facility that we have, and we would all appreciate that cricket is unlike soccer or rugby, where if you've just got a piece of ground, you can go and play the sport. Cricket needs a particular surface, because if that surface is not perfect, you cannot play a game of cricket. And on the right is where we're looking to get. At the bottom, there's a facility in Limpopo, Malakutu, which we want to develop. There are plans. We've already contributed $500,000 towards that. We're looking for sponsor parties, and I think we've managed to get on there. We've got that plan to build that facility. But Chairman, the challenge for us is to maintain those facilities subsequently, because we are able to put up facilities, but the subsequent maintenance is where we seem to be challenged. We've got access to a lot of funds. I think we should be trying to get more. I'm not sure if we've accessed our fair share of it, but something which we're looking for, because the maintenance of facilities is a big challenge for us. Coming towards the end in terms of performance, we're certainly proud to be the number one team in the world. We play Australia starting on Wednesday in the first test match at Centurion, and they will want to challenge us because they're currently number three in the world, and they would look at, well, it should be a good series because they just beat them England recently, and what I want to point out is if you look at the test bowlers and the test batsmen, these are the rankings or the ratings in the world. We currently have got the number one and number two bowlers in the world. I think we should compliment ourselves. You're competing with the best in the world, and South Africa has produced your number one and your number two. The number one bowler happens to be a player of color. And the other day I made a comment that if that's a reflection of the talent in our country, we've lost a fair amount of players whom I personally know could have been better than Vern Philander, who could have been number one player. That's history. And to tie back to the point about that's why we want to record our history, it is things that we should not forget. But we are able, from all communities, to be able to produce the best in the world. On the batting front, Hashim Amla is number four at the moment. A couple of months ago, and for a long period, if my memory serves me correct, was for about 3 years, he was number one in the world. Again, a player of color who's got the talent in this country. So we're very mindful of accessing the entire population and committing our resources and our efforts to get there. In the ODI, we've got Sotsobi, who is the number seven in the world. And in T20, he's number six in the world. So we've got the talent, Mr. Chairman, and we are determined to access that. So we're proud of where we've got to as a playing nation. The approaches have done well. They're number one in the world in test cricket, they're number three in the world in ODI cricket. And I call it going second, because when you do it to the decimal point, they fall to three in T20. But we're going second in T20. So that's a pretty good performance. And something else that we drive is that transformation is not mutually exclusive to excellence. They go together. Because we've been able to transform at the same time as we've been able to remain at the top of the pile in terms of international standards.
briefly, we don't only focus on cricket. We've got other areas that we promote in terms of our social responsibility. We recently donated through the fundraising effort on the Fit Day an amount of $375,000 to breast cancer. And there's other areas that we also spend our time and resources. The power for us is the ability to use the profile of our players to generate interest or awareness in something. So whether it's HIV, whether it's AIDS, whether it's breast cancer, whether it's the Red Cross Children's Hospital, we encourage our players, in fact, we commit in their contract that they should go and spend some time to raise awareness wherever it is necessary. So there's a social component to what they need to do. In terms of our ability also to generate happiness in the nation, there was an event not so long ago at Ulands where the Springboks played against the Proteas. We had a full house. It was in lieu of India, who had not come to Ulands for that test match. We were able to fill the stand. I must thank the Springboks. They obliged. They put their team together, and it was a fantastic occasion where we enjoyed and we celebrated what we call the Festival of Cricket. And also, when we were in Durban, it was a very moving time. We were fortunate, the government indicated that there's no need to cancel the fixture, but the passing away of Madiba, we were able, and A.B. de Villiers, manager, was brilliant in the way that he paid tribute to Madiba. It was moving. It was about how he was inspired as well. And I think these are the opportunities that we as a sport, as a national sport, can contribute to the well-being of the nation. We've seen often when we win, our happy people are, and when we lose, our sad people are. So we know that very well. And then I'll pass over to the chairman to talk about the issue on the restructuring, revamping of the ICC. We can come back to questions on the mission, chairman.
I think let's start there. Let's deal with this presentation, and then we'll take that up. But I must tell you that this is a very beautiful and good presentation. But the unfortunate part is that we do not have the time to engage with it, so as to prepare properly for this thing. Because many times people come with these rosy things, and then when you engage something else, you see, they can't speak to these things which they present as. So that is exactly unfortunate, but be that as it may, it looks good, but I open it for members to come in and then engage with it. It's open. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chef. Sorry, before you come, we just listen. I'm not going to recall the third member, and then we'll come for another round. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Chairperson, you have already alluded what we would have loved to say, because really when you get such a quality presentation as it looks, it's not that it's giving you space to have gone through it, and I'm also a bit not happy about the response of the President when the President said they were not aware that they needed to give us the documents before sometime. I just whispered back to my colleague and said, is it the first time that Cricket South Africa comes before the committee? And I was just refreshing my memory, only to find that it's not the first time. So I think it is important that we are taken to this Jefferson. As much as we appreciate the work that has been actually done so far. But I must also say that we appreciate that there is a new board, and when you just look at them, just see majority of the dominating spaces of our mates. And as much as I heard that the minister was happy when he was also at that AGM. But we must also see that we appreciate that you are taking women also on board. But if you have only one voice of a female, to me it doesn't make any sense. So if you add more voices, because
you want to see that when you talk of transformation, even the least, which are women, can actually be said, because really what you are putting up there as the best, you know, place, to me, it does not give a balance to say you can talk of women as well. So maybe in our next, you know, in our next, if there is an opportunity for you to opt, like we give opt our members, so our OCAD members, you may think of opting other female members to be part of you so that they can raise their voice and see what women say. But we must tell us and appreciate their development, to me the transformation and the development, where I saw the name Malikutu. And to anybody who doesn't know where Malikutu is, they just look at the name. But for us who come from Mpumalanga, we know that it's in a deep, deep, deep rural area. And we really appreciate that. And it gave me some time to say to my colleague, I will go there and talk to the school principal and check for myself, so that when I come here and also sing the praises, I am actually saying praises that can be actually touched. So we appreciate that you go deeper, because we were also thinking of saying, you showed our universities that you also give maybe your programs with. But I didn't see you planning for the new universities, the one that comes in Northern Cape, the one that is coming in Mpumalanga. But I am a bit actually satisfied to say, if you have such money could do, you may be building up for that new university. Because really, to me, we need to start at the very, very bottom area. When you need to talk of that, you still need to talk to the Department of Education. But your advancement, Marikuti, to me, it actually gives us some kind of a hope, so which we believe. Let's do more, so that we can actually be saying, we have taken the two pilot universities as our pilots to say, if we start with them early, start in Marikuti, you go to Northern Cape, you start there, in the deep, deep rural of a Northern Cape, and then you say, you bring up this player. Maybe you're under 19s because you said you have never had any win for the under 19s. Maybe there could be something coming. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, gentlemen, for your presentation. Just a couple of questions. Regarding the board, although I think we all support the principle of independent directors, notice that you don't have any executive directors. A CEO, for example, of Fund Strange is not a director. I'd like to comment on that. In terms of the independent directors, I look at some of the names, and I'm not sure how independent they are. A lot of those people are wicked people. And I think the opening statement by the President refers to the fact that they were independent business people or others who could give an independent and impartial view of cricket, and I think that is a key component of what we're talking about here, so I'd like some comment on that. In terms of the income stream, the international broadcasting rights, I'd just like to know, are those negotiated between the ICC and the CSA? Do any affiliates have any of their own opportunities to discuss their own broadcasting rights? And if it does come through the CSA, what percentage goes to affiliates and what percentage is kept by CSA? Likewise, in the G20 review, what is the split there for South Africa? In terms of the financial results, I think you've discussed that, but it is worrying, of course, when you lose a combined 180 million in the last 2 years. It's a big drain on resources, and if you look at cash reserves, what they were 2 years ago and now, that's maybe a cause for concern, but I understand you've got that under control. We as a committee are extremely aware of this issue with the Department of Education. And we, like you, also share a frustration that the Department of Education, we believe, what appears to be a perception, they haven't put into school sport as much as we'd like them to be. The Department of Sport and Rec are doing an admirable job, we believe, with limited resources. But unless the schools get involved, you know, we have a problem bringing our youngsters through. So I think you've got a challenge there. but it's a challenge I think you need to pursue, because without good school cricket, not just in the traditional schools but in other schools, cricket will always be held back like other schools as well. So we'd like your feedback, I think, next time on that particular issue. I'm nearly there. In terms of the under-19, it is problematic that for some reason you never seem to get anywhere, and it's a worry, you know, about the future. Are we going to be competitive? We talked about the Proteas being number one, and we're extremely proud of that. But let's say there's a gentleman called Gallus, who's been a spine of the team for a long time, and I'd be interested to hear how you're going to replace him just now. I just think that we mustn't just rest on our laurels, because if the under-19s aren't bringing up the gents, you might have a problem. I'd also like to know, in the rural areas, are the Department of Sport and Rec giving any bursaries to promising youngsters, male or female, which go to schools? For example, in rugby, I understand that in the border region, for example, you'll have 15 schools and one school is a traditional school in rugby, for example. They'll identify the youngsters there and certain bursaries go to these youngsters, either from the department or from the ministerial bursaries. So I'd like to know if there's anything about cricket, because there certainly should be. My chairperson would also like to know this answer. When we prepare a wicket at Kingsmead, when we're playing the Indian cricket side, that is shocking. Shocking. I mean, we should be going for home ground advantage, and we give them a feather bed. We're just lucky we knocked them over and got them out just in time. So I'd like to know the thinking, and because with Australia starting tomorrow, we'd want to make sure that we have an advantage. I mean, when they go there, they prepare for their conditions. So I'd just like your comments there. And lastly, I would just like to say that you were talking with some justification about people of colour coming through the ranks. But I must remind you that the Hashim Amlis and others came from traditional schools. And of course they are people of colour, and we would be very happy. Is your philosophy in developing people, promising cricketers, to take them to the rural schools and get them through then into academies? Or are you trying to just pluck them from the rural areas, put them into the traditional schools where they do have facilities and coaching? It's just something else. And then finally, your spectators. What is the racial breakdown of spectators at test match cricket and affiliate cricket? Thank you.
Thank you.
Let you there.
I think Shepherdson then seems to tonight who gets in the presentation. My question is around winning. You know, to me, to be number one without a trophy doesn't mean anything. What is the problem? You know, I used to love watching cricket, but my morale is going down. Because every time when we are semi-final or quarter-final, then we come back empty-handed. What is their problem? That is the main problem, that our guys cannot reach the finals. And I mean, it has been a long time that we never won a trophy, or that's a medal. So can you please, you know, tell us what is the problem? Is it because people are now seeing the color coming in, they are relating, or is it something else? The second question is, it's not a question, it's a comment. I know you didn't elect yourself, but I want to align myself with the women. When we talk of women cricket, we must also remember that women must participate somewhere. So maybe, for you today in the future, it can't be 50-50, because we also don't want cat and razor. It must at least have, you know, that racist, I mean the sexist mix. When you transform, you must transform, try and transform nearly everything. I think we should.
Thank you. I think, can we then respond to that out?
and then there will be other rounds coming in. And this is just an engagement, and I hope to take it in that spirit. It is not to not to say that we are not in, but we need to raise things here, not outside. Thank you. Whoever wants to, you decide how you respond, and I think that you will also respond the department to the issue with the rest. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will respond on some of the questions, and then the Vice President will respond some, and then others. CEO will do. The composition of the board, Honorable Sundari, is a reality that finds expression in cricket. A reality that is a matter that we need to deal with in terms of transforming cricket entirely. Because the challenge that you have is that in terms of the constitution of CSA, where you appoint or elect the board, you look at the current seven presidents at your affiliate level, and therefore you source your non-independent director from that group. And unfortunately, at the time we were going to the AGM, at that level you did not have a female president of the affiliate. It reflects a history of cricket, reflects a very patriarchal history of cricket. And fortunately for us, now we can say there is some movement, but very, very slow movement towards that direction. Because now Free State, for example, has a female president. And I'm sure you'll have in the future some of the affiliates going that route. And I think we're taking note of the suggestion that has into the caution in order to address this matter of gender sensitivity. It's a matter that we contend about, a matter that we want to see something done about it. It's going to take time because you need to unravel that patriarchal structure within cricket in order to ensure that you give cricket and also give a chance to this very important aspect of gender representation. Then I will deal with the two issues in terms of the CEO not being a member of the board, and also the independent directors, how independent are they? The current board is an outcome of the non-crossing recommendations to Minister of Sport. And during that time, you also need to get the context right. That was in response to a period of instability in cricket. That was a response to a period of challenges that were facing cricket at the level of governance. And then we had a situation where in the past board, the CEO and the CFO were effective directors at the board. And emanating from that, the challenge that we're facing at the time was surrounding the CEO of CSA. And therefore the report came, and the report made a very clear recommendation to the board to say, in your formulation, the manner in which you formulate your board, the CEO should not be a director. There are challenges for that. For instance, Arun can take the organization, take decisions that are not in the best interest of the organization, because he understands that he is not a director of the board. He does not have that kind of fiduciary duties. But it's a matter that the board has expressed itself on. The matter that we seek to ratify going forward, because it's very important for us to have the CEO as an executive director within the board. So it's a matter that is going to unfold, and we think perhaps by the time we go to the next AGM, we'll be able to say we've corrected that situation. The independent directors, you will also recall that we had put in place in our MOI a clause that says somebody should qualify as an independent director after having satisfied this kind of recommendations. And one of those key was that the person should not have had in the preceding 3 years, should not have had any association with cricket, either at a club level, provincial level, or whatever the case may be. And you also recall that we had to, that matter was taken on arbitration. By one of the nominees going through to SASOC and CSA is lost that arbitration. Then the issue of independence, it becomes very difficult when you're dealing with do you actually have somebody who's independent? The issue of independence becomes a perception. Are you perceived by the public to be independent? Is the fact that you've been away from Tuket for so many years or you are not having any direct dealings with Tuket, does that qualify you to become an independent? The view that we're taking is the issue of independence is not a matter of association only, but it's a matter of whether you can take and make independent decisions as a person, not coming from a political, from a background wherein you have been influenced by your association, by your conduct, by your connection with a particular structure that lies within cricket. And if then you can be in a position to stand and make an independent decision and also look at the interests of the organization, over and above the fact that you need to push for a particular viewpoint because you come from a particular connection, where you are, we believe that you are independent. It is a very difficult matter to handle. But so far, we believe the independence that we have in the board are really beginning to show their independent vote, and also to get us benefiting from their independence. I don't care to deal with the issue that coming from Honorable Mackenzie around income and stuff like that.
Mr. Chairman, in terms of international broadcasting rights, ICC would have no involvement whatsoever with the South African sale of rights. So the way the process works is Cricket South Africa would engage with potential broadcasters who are seeking to acquire the rights, and they would do a deal absolutely on their own. Then in terms of the distribution of that revenue, whatever surplus remains from the affairs of running South African cricket is plowed back into the affiliates and ultimately into the programs. So the way we structured ourselves is there's a lot of programs that are now funded directly by South Africa from CSA offices on behalf of the affiliates. So there's a lot of centralization because we think we get better economies of scale, we get better alignment with the strategies, we get better consistency across the country and so on, as opposed to simply allocating funds to affiliates and they then in turn distributing or dealing with it. So there's a lot of, a fair amount of centralization, and whatever's left is still distributed to the affiliates. So it's very much managed from Cricket South Africa itself. That's insofar as the rights are concerned. Obviously, there was a specific question about what is kept back by CSA. In essence, nothing is kept back by CSA. If there's anything, it's a reserve which is held for the affiliates as to smooth over the four-year cycle. I think the interesting questions were the Kingsmead pitch and the Callister placement. So there was a very good, let's call it excuse, by the Kingsmead staff or ground staff, and specifically the chief executives. There's an amount of truth to it. There was a lot of rain that preceded that test match. So the pitch was actually covered for an extended period of time. And there was a clear request. We were the home ground advantage. You can't have a team from the subcontinent or India coming to South Africa and playing on conditions that suit them. It just doesn't make any sense. But the truth was, there was a lot of rain that fell, and it was effectively about 2 days before that they were able to uncover the pitch, and in between rain breaks, that they were able to prepare the pitch. Absolutely disappointed. In fact, we came down quite hard and quite tough on them.
Even the longest one.
Both those pitches were certainly not on African pitches. So that's an area. In fact, it led me to think about process, about preparation of pitches and that. Now we've got the balance, and Dr. Seister will go because he sits with an affiliate position at times where you want to play a test match, you want to extend it for as long as possible because you want to provide your local fans with content in another 5 days, so you don't prepare a green shirt, you have to finish in 3 days, and that kind of challenge, absolutely, and that's called the tension that exists between Cricket South Africa and an affiliate.
that's also the just to come into back to another thing. That's also one of the reasons why we go on a standardized model, as I was just indicated, we have a standardized model from the top down. And one of the areas where things can differ, basically at games, where the affiliate, they choose the pitchers because that's the only area physically where they can have more money in terms of ticket sales. Other than that, the TV rights, everything is centralized at ESA. We sell it because you get a much better deal. We're also looking at, especially the advertising board, perimeter boards, where you have, let's say, the Kimberley board, the income that they derive from advertising is far less than what the Wonders get. So if you have it at CSA, you'll get much more for those smaller provinces also in terms of income generation from the marketing than the individual province will get for from the marketing side. So those are the areas we're looking at our accounting policies, expenditure, all those things to come from a model from the top, okay, and distributing all the money from CSA towards that. There's some areas where there's some autonomy, but those autonomy also sometimes are hurting credit in general also. So it's very important. Just to, a couple of, I don't know if you want to carry on? Especially on the questions of the projects like the rural areas where we put the money in. And the one problem that we found was that after the World Cup in 2003, we spent quite a lot of money on legacy projects, and we all know about those things. After going back there a couple of years back, when we lost all those facilities, because you hold facilities and you hand it over to municipalities, and honestly, it's an absolute disgrace to see all the money that's been spent, and it's not being used for the purpose that it was built. And it was never built for cricket only, it was built for sport in general. And I think it's important that I can understand from the sporting body that if you invest money, like we're spending, and each and every year we spend a lot of money in uplifting facilities, especially in the rural area, okay, but we don't get down from the local government authorities. So that is important, and that's one of the areas that you can have common guarantees. That's one. The issue of opting females, I think we should actually get more of the females. Perhaps that's one of the ingredients we need to win the cup. But as I said, there's a pivot move towards getting more representative. The previous board had black African representatives, where apart from the presence that we had from all the provinces, the 40 that we had three extra black representatives. I think we've outgrown that. Okay, because if you have a look at all the affiliate presidents, you have more than enough black representation in terms of all over the country of the provinces are the black Africans that come into them. I think we're looking at the ladies, and Zola Tumai is been one of those black African representatives, and she's also in government in Free State, and she's done a sterling job, and has come to age now by taking over Free State, and also has done exceptionally well. But I can assure you that there's a level of work being done to actually get our ladies coming through, and there's an extra need also. The one thing that we all believe in, and that I certainly believe in, is that any sporting culture starts with the money. Okay? It starts with the family, and from the family, that's where you breed your cricket culture. So if you have more ladies involved in cricket, you will have a stronger component of cricket and children, because the money's there of the house. No matter what we say, we don't have a chance against them. So we do agree that we need more ladies in the organisation, and it's not that we don't. It's just so difficult to get them through the ranks. But because I think we're working hard on that.
Okay.
The Department of Education question and in terms of giving our own frustration, it's certainly something I'm going to try and go from the top in effect. And Sumaya is the way as well that we want to team up with sports and recreation to try and make some sort of inroad into that area. But we're not going to unlock the school's talent and potential that we've got if the education department doesn't support us in that. I'm not aware, sir, in terms of whether they provide bursaries in the rural areas. To the best of my knowledge, I'm not heard of it. You can talk about that, okay. And then, your point is correct, in terms of the likes of Amla coming from traditional schools, what we've chosen to do is to recognize that there's a long-term plan that we need in place and a short-term success we can get. So those that we can get through the traditional schools where we can get progression much faster, we're using that. And that's where we're in fact using the Sunfoil Education Trust to provide bursaries for talented black African kids in particular, get them into traditional school, utilize that facility, utilize that exposure that they can get them through the system faster, whilst we're doing them like Kutus and that, which will take a much longer time frame to bring. So it's a twin pronged attack on that. I don't have the exact stats of racial breakdown of spectators at international matches in particular, but I can tell you, and I'm sure my colleagues can support me, from visibly what I can see, and I saw that in Durban in particular, there's no doubt the profile has changed. And it's a far greater representation of black people coming into the matches now. But I'm sure I can get this list. Something which I should allude to, we're about to launch, and it's something which I pressed strong and I got in, because we will get, the reason why we don't get spectators coming freely to matches is because it's difficult for them to come to matches. We know what old people are like today. If it's difficult, they don't go. So we've developed technology where, what they call NFC, Near Field Communications, where we've got a program we're going to launch very, very soon called Love Cricket Program, where you can buy your tickets online, you can buy your tickets anywhere. It will get downloaded to this house. And all you do is come past the gate and you step and you walk in. But the real benefit of that card is the fact that we can now track and speak to our supporters, to our fans. We'll know what profile they are. We'll know how many games they go to. We know they don't go to 10 matches, they go to 20s. And we can specifically send messages to that particular person and you can relate to it. So that will provide us with the statistics that we're looking for. Why are we not winning medals? I need an answer. But it's a fact. I think it's an area that certainly plagues us. I know trouble for the team. I would encourage you in your promotional pack there, there's a DVD called The Road to Number One. I'd really suggest you watch it, because that was a piece of work that was engineered by the team itself. None of us here should take credit for that. Right? But we created the platform that got them to go and do that piece, where they look into themselves, and seriously, Mr. Chairman, that team now is 18, black, white, or whatever goes in that team. And they found a mechanism, and I hope that road to number one translates into a World Cup win in a very near future, like the one in Bangladesh coming up, or the one coming up in Australia exactly the time. When they realize that unless they fight for each other, they're not going to win as a team. But I'd encourage you to watch that. Where they went around, there was a series of introspection. They shared the diversity that they each had. And the whites learned about the blacks, and the blacks learned about the whites. And that's why they are what they are today. So it was a piece of work that they did outside of practicing batting and bowling. You know, they had to go away, they had to go around and really dig deep. And it's the reason why they are what they are today. I think I covered all your questions. Carrots. That, nowhere in the world have you got a 3-in-1 player in the form of Chuck Scullers. The batsman that gets picked automatically, the bowler that gets picked on his own right, and if you pick a fielder, you would be picked. So that's a 3-in-1 player. But what we've done over time, and I think it's fair to say, that even in the recent year or two, or in fact 3 years, Callum has not been the player that they've solely depended upon. When I was convening the selection panel, if Callum went out, you closed your eyes, you were lucky to get past 200. But today we've got Amla, we've got AB de Villiers. The player who's batted number 4, I think on Wednesday, and I'm not a selector, so I'm guessing,
it's faster to see. That's what the speed has been about. And we've got enough in the bowling strength now to take wickets without Ellis having to do the job. So I start by saying, you're never going to replace a 3-in-1, but we've got enough depth in the team now to cover that. I'll be honest, 2 or 3 years back, I was ashamed to think taking on Australia without Ellis. But I think we're confident enough with the depth that we've built. The team's been around Amla for a long time, with AB doing the damage. You know, and Kellis obviously playing his role. So no replacement in terms of a Kellis better player, but I think there's enough depth that we've been created to fill, hopefully, what Kellis has done. 18 years or so.
Can you refuse to the department?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Mr. Chairperson, in terms of the Bursi program, you would recall that we had a National School Sports Championships in 2012 and again in 2013. In 2012, coming out of the School Sports Championships, the Minister awarded 14 bursaries to the learners who participated in the championships, and in 2013, there were 28 bursaries that were awarded to the learners. Now, if you look at the school sport championship, you focused on priority goals of sport, and each of those learners was awarded a bursary to the sum of 100,000 rand each, and this covered the cost of tuition fees, uniforms, accommodation, and more especially a sport support service to the learners, because not all of them could be placed in traditional sports playing schools or school that has a facility. But we offered them support in terms of going to the district academy or the university that offer a sports program. And in terms of the sports support services, it's your sports science, your testing facilities, your coaching facilities, gymnasiums, etc. that a learner or an athlete would require. So that was the support in terms of the ministerial sports bursary, especially for school-going children from grade 8 to 12. In addition, Mr. Chairperson, the department has signed a memorandum of understanding with CAPFITA, which is the Culture, Arts, Tourism, Sports Sector, Education and Training Authority. And in terms of the memorandum, we have a postgraduate development program where we have offered bursaries to university students for postgraduate studies for their honors and masters, so it's their masters and their PhDs. And in their research, when we put out the call, we made sure that their research is aligned to the National Sport and Recreation Plan. And last year, we offered bursaries to master students. About 20 master students and about 10 honors PhD students were given bursaries. There was a national call. It was advertised in the newspaper. It was advertised on the website of CAPFITA. And one of the conditions is when we have our sport and recreation research conference at the end of the year, those students then will come and share their research work with the delegates to that conference. And we hope that this is a partnership and it will continue for a few years. So I think more postgraduate students will benefit from this program, and also the ministerial program aligned to the National Sport and Recreation National Schools Championship will also continue to increase the numbers. In addition, Mr. Chairperson, from our provinces, we know that Gauteng province offers 20 in this financial year 2013. They offered 20 bursaries to schools, to learners in schools. KwaZulu-Natal also has a program. We do not have all the details as yet, but there are programs in those two provinces as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I think just an addition. One of the most important elements of the school sport structure framework is the establishment of the school sport focus goals. The sport focus goals intention is making sure that in areas where we still do not have the necessary support in terms of infrastructure and schools that can accelerate the development of the children that have been identified to be talented, that they are taken to sport focus goals. it is not a long term in terms of taking children out of communities and putting them in sports for the schools, but rather it is the development of those schools where those children come from, in order for them to be better prepared, in order for them to be better equipped for those children to be kept in the areas where they come from. Examples. If out of the children that we have that are on the bursaries, some of the children had to be moved to the rural areas where they came from and where they originally come from, to a school that provides, that is strong in the sporting code, so that whatever the development that the child has, for example, a child that comes from King Lefton gets moved to Dale High School, which is a strong school in cricket or rugby or in Selborne. But there is also an intention in the partnership that we have with the Department of Basic Education to develop those traditional African schools that have strengths either in rugby, in athletics, or cricket, so that we don't move children out of their communities, but rather we keep them. So there's a short term of moving them to sport focus schools that are established, but there's also a focus in terms of developing those schools so that they can actually offer that going forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Jefferson. In terms of the bursaries for the benefit of cricket, there have been three girls who were selected last year from the National School Sport Championships. They are receiving bursaries. The three girl cricketers have received bursaries last year.
Thank you.
Maybe you can send that for the information, or where are these cell phones, so that we can track them.
Thank you, sir. Two are from KZN and one is from the Eastern Cape. And I think maybe we can provide that detail, because as we go along, it also talks about the age group. The age group that we're looking at is 10-year-olds. So the bursary that the child receives is from the time they go to grade 8 until they finish their schooling. So all the children that have received their bursaries are actually being supported from grade 8 until they finish their schooling up to grade 12. To date, we do not have a tertiary plan, but I think the most important right now for us is a high school plan where the children are being developed. But the cricket in particular, the two girls are from KwaZulu-Natal and one is from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. The database. Do we have a database concerning schools which has participated? Yes, and what have you? And cricket. What is, can we talk about the grocery list for you? What is the relationship between Cricket of Africa and this tournament which have been held at Fort at this town, that Mumbela thing and what and not? The backing which was affected cricket, what is happening around the team, and what are we doing by those on the wrong side? Betting. I don't want to speak about people right, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Difficulties report. How far are we? You spoke about the board, but there's some recommendations which were made. How far are we with the implementation of the totality of that system? How much of the funding that is generated from ICT events goes towards provinces and lower structures? Your development. He said that there is club development. How do clubs access funding from that? I want to make you an example. The also my constituency. Union Star is in 100 years, a couple of years ago. You've got Western Hope. You've got cricket, which is played now at the school, and there's a club also in township. But the problem is facilities and what they have been sent from Peter to Paul for assistance. We know that the as opposed to the affiliated SWC. But assistance then is a problem. Your plans, are they in line with the National Sports Federation plan? Cricket. Let's just start there. I'll come with others.
Mr. Chairman, I'll try and cover the first question. About 4 years ago, we started working with a company in Stellenbosch called Performax, the Blackson Consulting Group. Over the last year, an excessive amount of time has gone into the clubs, the schools, all of them, recording various information on a database. Everything is presently available at the Trigger South Africa, but we have, and I can tell you now, from under 13 onwards, even KFC also we have a database on that, but from primary schools, senior level, club level, we can even give you some footage of the facilities at club level if you like. I know in my province, which is the Boland, 2 years ago, we actually started on actually physically going to the various facilities, taking pictures of ablution clubhouse facilities, so that we know exactly if a club comes to us in terms of their facilities, we know how to report and what to do. So even at a higher level, I think we've got one of the best performance systems in the world with Performax, with our national team, where we can tell you all the information from fat content to fitness, medical, all those things, and I can honestly say the best in the country. So if you would like to see our database, it is available. Some regions better than others. Also, you have the human component, and a lot of them don't comply. And we've given them until September. At first, it was June last year, and then we extended it to September, and all the information should be currently available. Even if you're looking for a left-arm spin bowler in the border region, it will kick out 5 or 6 days. To that extent, we were able to serve it.
The relationship between Cricket South Africa and the likes of Ngobela and others, there isn't a formal relationship, Mr. Chairman, but we tend to support wherever we can. Because those, in a sense, are individuals who love the game, they're passionate, they develop their own little cricket. I think Ray Mali has just did something now recently. In the Eastern Cape, in the East London area, so wherever we possibly can support, we support. But there are not formal relationships between CSM and those individuals. Your point on betting handles, it's something that certainly I personally and I know the board of Cricket South Africa would not tolerate at all. I was infamous a couple of years ago because I caused some Pakistani cricketers to be put behind bars. They were banned. But corruption is something we simply cannot tolerate. The integrity of the game will be gone. You won't have commercial partners, you won't have a game. So we certainly won't tolerate it. Insofar as the best of my knowledge in South Africa, we haven't got an issue. Notwithstanding, shortly after I was appointed, I recruited and appointed a position called anti-corruption officer. So we take this element seriously because I know what the risks are. I know how an innocent youngster can get drawn into something. I've seen it. So at the moment, I don't think we've got a problem in South African cricket, but we're not going to accept that as being something which will never happen. There's just far too much at stake, and the temptation is far too great. So we've got an officer, we monitor, we do everything from a, call it a policing perspective, and equally we educate our players to a great extent in terms of the risks that they face. ICC funding down to affiliates, all of the funding that's received eventually trickles down to affiliates. We pay whatever we need to run competitions, to run whatever programs we need to development and so on, and the red goes down to affiliates. All the way, may I add, Mr. Chairman, to clubs, your question on access to funding, there's always a limitation in the demand for resources. We still haven't got enough to sustain everything and everybody. I'm not surprised by the point you make about assisting or lack of assistance at SWD. I think the way we structured, we depend on people on the ground, at the region, at the affiliate level, to do what they should do. And often there's challenges that we face where we've got to mediate something or we've got to deal with something. And in fact, in SWD, we have to deal with certain issues where we have to, in fact, almost force an asset to arbitration and we have to pull rank. The business got involved as well, where we needed to deal with something between a club and the affiliate. But there's a level of independence where each region is to make sure they deliver on the services that we've got or the vision that we've got. Aligning with national banks, I think it's an area I still want to get into more, but we do engage on a regular basis with the department as well as other areas of government in terms of aligning our plans and our strategies with theirs. And that's the thing I would personally want to get closer to. I don't have enough knowledge at the moment to share an educated response. And in terms of how far we are with implementing the Nicholson, I'll leave that to the President.
Thanks, Adam. The recommendations coming from the Nicholson report were far-reaching. And we have, subsequent to that report, went through a process of restructuring where we developed material from our own perspective in order to respond to the report as it stood. And then what we have done, surely we have put in place a board, and also we have put in place a number of issues in order to ensure that the board functions properly. One of the things which were raised within that report is the level of funding that goes to your lowest level of cricket at the grassroots level. And I think if you have looked at the presentation that we did today here, it shows that 23% of our fund goes towards the development of cricket at the lowest level. The challenge that you have as an organization is that you are dealing with funding that is mainly sourced from sponsorships. And unfortunately, at a level where it is most at the grassroots level, there's not really self glamour. Therefore, there is no appetite and attraction for sponsors to get involved at that level. So what we do is to try and look at, as you have just said, look at the totality of funding and ensure how best can you assist in order to ensure that funding goes and it trickles down to the lowest levels. Another issue that comes out of the Nicholson report was the issue of the taxpayers for CSA. And I think the Department of Finance and the CFO did that clearly, and it became evident that what we're doing is more of a developmental nature, therefore we are not falling foul in terms of debt regulations in the country. And also coming out of the report and also out of our interactions with SACOC is to ensure, and this is a debate that we're going to be taking forward until to our next AGM, the issue of representation of all geopolitical provinces at CSA level. Because SACOC is very keen on ensuring that CSA does truly have a national footprint, and it's something that we are taking forward, and something that is going to be happening during the course of this year, going to the AGM at the end of this year, we should have in place a system and a process of ensuring that there is representation at that level and also that national footprint is not compromised. And as I said, Mr. Chairman, is that we have developed material based on the Nicholson report, and therefore we're beginning to implement those issues step by step.
So I just wanted to, the outsourcing part, are you satisfied with that? Do you need to comment on that?
Okay.
The outsourcing, the service industry.
No, it's okay.
The last issue before I give over to President to refer to the restructuring and what you No, I've got a concern, really.
Yeah, we are not on.
Oh. Thank you. I think Aaron will remember when you were still convener. I used to pull a lot around the selection of things. do we nurse, do we follow our players of color? You know, I'd like to make the example of Solidarity in the village. When they were elected together to go to India and what is it? So they clear when they had the best wicket keeper, the village as the best man. Both villages performed well with the best team. But when it came back there, so they clear was dropped. The issue of players of color to be given one chance and in his face is gone. To me, that's a very bad problem. There is an opening batsman which will be featuring in the T20 Israel City, Botman. Luzes for Botman. He has not disappeared. And to me, it's a concern really. Do we look after our players? Do we monitor them? Where are they? You know, I was in France. In France, they're so sharp in their database. They can even tell you that a player was injured. In this year, he fractured his ankle, he was treated by this doctor, he is well and what is he doing now? To me, that kind of database in our federation is not that up to London. And this lady just disappeared and he got involved in wrong things. On Sunday, I was listening to these two ladies who used to play for Kedah Chiefs, Dabo Pule and who's the other one? For proper guidance, they start all through the class. They end up involved in drugs. Their money was spent. They were saying that in each town he had so many girlfriends. When he gets into a 16 or a dozen, he is the boss. Because of not that proper guidance, how do we assist them? Because they even said that it's the first time they have been exposed to 10,000 reds. And he just his head and nothing. Now, what do we have in place to assist our up and coming people who are? Because if you get to a city, guess what has them to become millionaire? What kind of guidance do we have them? That's some homework issue. If you must go and look at the need to assist our youth. You can comment if you want, but if you think it's not necessary, then we can go over to the President Richard and Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, it's very appropriate that you raise that question because it's something that we are very, very mindful of. And since I've got involved, and I think it's been happening to a lesser extent before I got involved, but I've stepped it up, I've asked Dr. Musaji, who's the team manager, because I'm starting at the top, and that he must take a particular, and you'll see in one of our documents about mentorship of the upcoming youngsters in particular. Now, some people are mature, some people are not mature. Some people mature at different ages, earlier, later. We've got to be mindful of all that. But he's got a specific task now to mentor and to allocate. We're going up a list of individuals across the country to serve as mentors. And these are esteemed individuals, people who are capable of providing that kind of guidance. Because no doubt, when a youngster is 19, 18, 20 years old, and he gets his first paycheck, it could be as much as 50,000 rand, which he never had. And he'll get a sponsorship deal, that could be a couple of 100,000 rand. So that sort of support structure absolutely essential. If you go down even lower, we've got it, and you see in that pipeline development program that we set up with the Sun for Educational Trust, you cannot get the trust, you cannot get the bursary or scholarship unless you've selected or elected a mentor as well. So I fully agree with your highlight of that point. It's something which we are now going to do in a more structured fashion.
Just to add to that also, Mr. Chair, one thing that myself and Chris have spoken for the last 2 years already is the fact that we need to be focused also in developing our cricketers, our sports people, okay, holistically. And you can see UNISA, UJ, for there. The one thing we would like to see is that all professional players have some kind of tertiary education. Now, if you have that, you have mature cricketer, mature sports, and responsible also. Some of them more than others. But I think that's the first step that you need to do. Okay, get an education, a proper education, because your last game might be your last game. And injuries and all that. So, you know, what's the contingency plan in terms of that? So,
We're great believers in a further education and actually equipping yourself for the future and doing something other than the income from cricket. So I think that's twofold, and you need to have a contingency plan in terms of that.
Thank you.
We can give over to you, President. If you want to comment on this, can you then? From there, you can just go on to school.
Honorable Chairman, I think what I can comment is to say we've noted your last comments. It is very important for us to offer opportunities, and those opportunities should be measured, and also those should be quality opportunities. We hope at the next meeting when we report to you, we'll be able to say this is how we track the quality of opportunity given to this player, because it is important that the entire system has faith and has confidence in an African player when he moves and gets into the team. That is the key. But I think we are noting that, it's something that we're dealing with, Mr. Chairman. I think it might not appear if we take it seriously, but it's a matter that we deal with it very, very seriously. Chairman, let me deal with this aspect, which is your second last slide. I'll try by all means to be as brief, but as exhaustive as I can be. Also mindful of the fact that we would want you to release us at about 12:30 so that you are able to attend a press conference that we have called to deal decisively with these matters. Chairman, you will understand that the ICC, the International Body for Cricket, and the members to that organization are the individual board of the various countries. Currently, it has 10 full members. It has, I think, 96 associate and affiliate members. The board of the ICC comprises of the ICC full members and also three representatives of the associate and affiliated members, plus management of the ICC, the president as well as vice president. What happened is that on the 9th of January, the full members had a meeting in Dubai where a working group between the Finance and Commercial Affairs Committee of the ICC put before the full members certain proposals. Those proposals, the aggregate impact of some of those proposals would be to restructure the ICC completely. And then those proposals were put before us, and I'll try and summarize them. The first one dealt with the distribution of ICC revenue, the way the money is going to be distributed, arising out of ICC events, distributed to members as well as associate and affiliate members. And the proposal on the table was that because you have different contributions into the ICC revenue, therefore the distributions to the various members would be on a sliding scale. Essentially what that meant is 65% of revenue of the ICC will be distributed on an equal basis. Then 35% over and above that will be distributed on a sliding scale, recognizing the contributions that the various countries are making towards ICC revenues. The other recommendation that was put forward was that the ICC would have a chairperson, which is not actually a new recommendation, but it was also tabled. Currently you have a president who doubles as also chairman of the board. But now the arrangement is you'll have a ceremonial president and you'll have a chairperson or chairman of the ICC board who actually runs the ICC. And the recommendation then says that the chairman or the chairman of the ICC would come from the three boards who came up with this recommendation, that is the Board of Control for Cricket in India, the England and Wales Cricket Board, and Cricket Australia. And that for in perpetuity, those individuals would share the responsibility to chair the ICC. Secondly, or thirdly, that the key committee within the ICC, the Finance and Commercial Affairs Committee, would be chaired
by an individual coming from these three members in perpetuity, that a new committee of the ICC will be put in place, and that committee will be called the Executive Committee, which will be a recommendation committee to the ICC board, but dealing with a number of issues, wide-ranging issues. And that committee also will be chaired in perpetuity by one of these three members of the ICC. That also the these three boards, that is DCCI, ECD, and Cricket Australia, would be immune from relegation. Remember that when you go to the ODI World Cup, you need to go through a process of qualification because the 16 member team, events. So they will be immune from relegation. So everybody else could be relegated, they will not be relegated. And also that you will have a test fund in order to support countries who are playing test matches, which end up causing them to lose in terms of revenue because there's no appeal for such matches. And at that stage, PSA was excluded from that test fund because we were regarded as if we do not actually need that test fund. Then going on, we have something called the Future Tours Program, where it is actually a calendar of fixtures between countries. And that is where, as a country, you make your money in terms of your broadcast rights and sponsorship. And then you will remember, Chair, that we had a challenge when India did not fulfill the full tour when it came to this country. And as a result of that, we lost a lot of money because you had sold your rights based on the tour that had originally been agreed upon. So the other proposal is to say the FTT now is not going to be in the same way it had been. Instead, what you will have countries agreeing with the FTT on a bilateral basis, signing a binding agreement between the countries themselves. So those were the issues that were on the table after meeting the 9th. We met as a board of CSA also, including all the presidents, wherein we then said, we cannot agree with some of these issues. And also what we did, I was mandated by the board to raise points where we don't agree. And also we agreed that we needed to send a letter to the president of the ICC, Alan Isaac, to register our concerns about matters of process. And without necessarily dealing with the details in that letter, a letter we sent to him which published. Then the next meeting would have taken place on the 28th, 29th of January in Dubai again, wherein we were very clear yesterday that they would not agree on these matters, especially where it gives and it creates a different class of members of the ICC, and it gives power to certain boards to run ICC committees in perpetuity without anybody coming in to get an opportunity to lead some of these committees. We engaged in bilaterals with a number of countries. I'm sure you'd imagine the kind of canvassing and that was would have taken place. But when we came to Dubai, there has been subsequent to our very strong stand around this thing, there has been a number of concessions made. And also leading to that, I was in consultation and in contact with some of the presidents, especially who were the originators of these proposals. When we go to Dubai, this is what was on the offer. One, through our own insistence, PSA now was going to be included in the test fund, which means, because the point is, when we play against Zimbabwe, test match against Zimbabwe, against Bangladesh, against Sri Lanka, Pakistan, we don't make money. We lose money. Therefore, we also need that cushion. So PSA is going to be part of the test fund, which will be $10 million annually, in order to cushion whatever losses you shall have incurred. Secondly, the FTP program, our future tours program, that is our content that we sell to sponsors and we sell to media rights holders, is going to be a bilateral agreement binding between two countries. And as CSA, we have an experience relating to this matter, because India did not fulfill their tour
because they argued that they had not signed any binding agreement within the ICC in relation to the FGD. We feel this for us is a very strong point where we are going to have a bilateral agreement between the two countries which is going to be binding. And if then they, that particular country does not perform in terms of that agreement, we can call them to perform. So that was the second point which we felt is a huge improvement. Thirdly, all of these measures, now the agreement was that these will be transitional measures from 2014 to 2016, only for a period of 2 years. And during that time, these matters will be brought to solutions. We'll ensure that we look at the content and we'll engage on the content and try to improve them. And then during that time, you'll have the chairpersonships of the committees locked into a period of 2 years transition. At the end of that transition period, then everything, every position will be open to be voted for on an equal basis, where you get the best person for the position, where you have democratic elections for the ICC chairperson, for the FNCA chairperson, for the ex of the ICC, and also we have been in a position to offer an opportunity to say, can there be more members added into these subcommittees? And that was done. And the issue of no immunity to relegation was out. We were ahead with that. And also, what it does, it breaks the ceiling for the associates and affiliate members, especially the associates. Now the associates, your best performing associate country can begin to play with your 10 full member countries, have an FTP arrangement with them, because they shall have gone through what we call the Intercontinental Cup in order to ensure that if they win that, then they can get into a situation where they play test matches, ODIs, T20s, with all full member countries. So that was what then was in Dubai on the 28th. Surely it is a great and a vast improvement from what was there before. Then the issue then was, do we then agree on this vote? And then we, as CSA, Sri Lanka and Pakistan, would push for a deferral of this decision to the next meeting so that we can go back and consult our various stakeholders, which we did at CSA. We came back, we had a meeting of the board and also the presidents. We invited key stakeholders within the sport fraternity in this country. The CEO of the Players Union was there. We invited the Department of Sport, but they could not attend. SACOB was, and they took the election. And looking at these improvements, we took the position as they say to say, we understand that it's not a perfect situation. We accept that there has been a vast movement from the original document. And key to our understanding is that this is a transitional period. And therefore, we're able during that period to engage on the matters of content and detail. And therefore, we said we will consider to accept and vote in favor of these changes in order for us to move the ICC forward and also as CSA to be able to reclaim our position at the center of the ICC, because as a result of our past, recent past history, we lost our position within, in terms of influence within the ICC. And that is what then happened in Singapore on Saturday. We were able then to support the passing of these resolutions. And what drove us to that extent was, as a cricketing organization, we exist mainly for to ensure that cricket is played and that opportunities are given for players to play cricket, that the spectators get quality matches watched. And then we believe that going forward, we'll be able to have a lot of cricket in South Africa, a lot of quality cricket in South Africa, and our players and our spectators will have the benefit of seeing the best players playing our own turf. I'm not saying Arun very cautiously, obviously, whether you want to make any comment at this stage. Yes, Arun, I need to explain why I say very cautiously. You will also understand that there is an ongoing litigation at the ICC, the subject of which our CEO is being investigated by the ICC, whether he had any link with a particular article that appeared in the newspapers way back in October 2013. And as a result of that, we have, as CSA, offered him to withdraw him from any dealings with the BCCR, any dealings with the ICC, until that investigation is over. So that's why I'm saying cautiously.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. Chairman, perhaps my comments will be more about the process that has gone around this whole thing. It's a very, very complex matter. Do not underestimate the implications of it and the intent of some of the individuals. I call it a personality-driven proposal as opposed to a principle-driven proposal. So there are certain personalities who are very, very keen to take control or to fix positions in high places. And that's the nexus behind this proposal. We've done very well to have withstood it, to have fought against it, and as Mr. Manzani has pointed out, whereas that is what they were looking for, this is what we would ideally have wanted. We've got to somewhere yet. So it's a livable scenario for now because it's transitional. It's not ideal. It's not a perfect way to run an organization, but you could understand the powers that lay here. So much so that the very litigation that the President refers to, in my personal view, it's an engineered way of making sure I was not around the table. Because if there was one person with knowledge and relationship to garner the rest against the proposal, they would have also that in my job. Now, I'm not trumping Mount Trumpet, but I think it was a calculated move to make sure that what they did. Insofar as that investigation is concerned, I've got absolutely no doubt of my non-involvement in the statement that they alleged I engineered. And hence why at the time we were very happy to withdraw and to subject to an investigation. Because I do not want somebody to throw up something and everybody think this chap is guilty or something. So that investigation is underway. And part of the arrangement we had around that investigation is that I won't make any comment. This was deliberate on their part, but we were over a battle at that time. We had to accept it because they were threatening not to add in into it. Those are the cards that get played, I'm afraid. I understand politics less than you do.
and indeed, it's a matter of a political situation where you need to be very skillful and also have a quite bit of tact to deal with. And I don't need to lecture you on that. The cricketing scene internationally is based on relationships. And you need to be very careful how you deal with those relationships. And what then it impacts you on is what we call STP, which is your content. What quality of matches are going to play, how many matches are going to play, and that gives you the power and content to go out and sell to your right holders, to your broadcasters, to your sponsors, to say this is what is going to happen from this year to that year. And therefore you need to be very mindful of that in order to protect the quality and also the content of cricket in the country. I believe, Chair, before you build a very wonderful house for your neighbor, you need to build a wonderful house for yourself.
Mr. Chairman, just one last comment, and it's not to make an excuse for the lateness of the presentation that was delivered. The Chairman and myself were engrossed, and January didn't start slowly for us. When this thing hit on the 9th of January, believe you me, the world of cricket was placed into turmoil. And we had to deal with things that were so far-reaching, I cannot begin to tell you what the implications would have been for the global game. And in my tenure at the ICC, this is what we fought for to develop, and we understand it perfectly as South Africans. You've got to provide access, you've got to develop, you've got to share resources, you've got to get everybody inclusive. And this was the opposite proposal on the 9th. So from that day onwards, until we got back to Singapore, where we now supported a very, very modified version of what they're looking for, we think there's something that we can work for. And sorry, I was saying, in all of that time, we managed to put the proposal together for you. The presentation together for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me thank you, Chairman, for briefing us, because one goes around, and they know that you serve on that committee, can clarify us on it. Now, what does these things in the newspapers not reveal? Now, if you get it from you guys, then the better one can also say that, look, this is the situation. Because
You know, the way I have interpreted that, you self sold out. And so then you have to read. You have the right people to run our cricket advantage. If they can behave like that, you know. So I just thought that we must have a briefing about this, and I want to take you. I don't know if you want to comment. Okay. But what you must understand, this is a briefing.
Chair, I think the chairperson has alluded to it that the perception amongst South African cricket population that we've been bullied, we've been blackmailed, and so much so that in Parliament last year there was a debate, or quasi debate, on the issue of the Indian tour. And I went public in Parliament to say that I felt the use of your CEO as a scapegoat, and us cowtying to that tour, I understand their financial implications. It's a very bad taste amongst cricket followers in this country. A very, very bad taste. The fact that we've even had to sideline him on some, what I would say, scurrilous, it appears to be some scurrilous article, and I don't even know the contents of that article, is, frankly, I think, a shocking sideshow. This is my own personal opinion. But let us move on. That's the history. When this thing broke, Mr. President, you were very clear that you were against it and went public on that issue. Then word came out that all of a sudden we were doing a deal, under commas, and then ultimately you told us about this. What I want to know is this. How much money is that 35% worth? You tell us that the CSA are going to get $10 million. How big is that pot? And I'll bet you that $10 million is a drop in the ocean compared to what the 35% recommends. And I think that's problematic. We are the number one test nation in the world. We have an undeniable legacy that speaks to the development of cricket. And I think this whole proposal is against the development of cricket and the very ethos and the ethics that we stand for as a sporting nation. I'm theorizing. I understand on ground with negotiations, it might be a little bit different. But believe me, that's what Joe Public thinks in this country. And that's your market. Those are the people who watch the game. Who else supported the other African nations then supported this modified version? You spoke about the Sri Lankas and the Pakistan, Bangladesh, yourself, etc. Was it just us? Because I know that there had to be a 70% vote or something to that effect. So who else did? So I'm concerned. In a way, I'm relieved it's for 2 years. But I know what happens in these things. 2 years becomes a bit more permanent. You don't want change. We get a bit comfortable with the 10 million extra that you say, arranging a few tours that are favorable to us. But I think the name of cricket possibly has been hijacked. That's my own personal view, and it's problematic. Although I'd like to hear your comments. Thank you.
I think that if you guys think that some of these questions might be difficult for you to deal with, and hence that you are still dealing with them and saying that it's transitional London, comment, but don't comment the issues which can compromise it.
Okay. We will try, thanks for that understanding, that indeed some of the issues are still in a state of flux, mm-hmm. and also very fluid, and perhaps if we were meeting somewhere else, we could go into details. But because of the conditions wherein we are now, we have not been in a position to talk about some of the issues. But having that said, perhaps let me clarify the issue of the funding, the distribution funding from the ICC. The $10 million, a million dollars that I'm referring
to. If you think, President, friends, that you're going to a press conference and you have people from the media here, and you think that you're not ready to handle before you go to the press conference, don't go into that.
Yes. I think
No. I just want to go there. I don't want.
We are supposed to say, let them not go giving the clarity as minute as possible, because it's a briefing.
and you can even listen to them, but it's still something that cannot just go out like that, because we must be mindful, Jefferson, that our own media can turn this thing into a hullabaloo and then don't know what to do. I'm hoping that they just say maybe nothing.
That's why I'm saying that if they are so comfortable, don't deal with it. But I don't want you to be compromised as well.
Mr. Jefferson, thank you for that understanding. Let me just clarify a small matter. I think I can do that. The test funding is different from your ICC distribution cost. I mean distributions to members. The test funding is equal for all those 700 that are going to benefit from it. It's $10 million a year. Then the ICC distribution is based then on the amount of that was realized in terms of selling out the media rights of the ICC. Currently, all countries receive after ICC events an amount of about $52 million. But depending on what amount has been realized, then what is going to happen, then you have that vote separately, where you share the 65% equally and then the 35% on a sliding scale. So these two are different. And as I said earlier on, Chairperson, some of these matters are very in a state of flux, and therefore we want to be cautious and also be very circumspect when you're dealing with them. But Chair, what I can say is that we have not sold our country.
Okay. And that's one of the newspapers of yesterday. And today, I'm going to meet you tomorrow. let me thank you, Cricket of Africa, for responding and for this proper briefing, so that one now understands what really happening, and what is also happening that these legal recommendations, we are dealing with them, and also your development is taking place, although one is not as happy. But there is a progress happening. And I know that when you talk in terms of information, you talk about a very sensitive issue when it comes to some of us who've been there. And now that this is in things that other people also come in later, also going to be stand up, it becomes a problem. But we need to deal with it. And we will get there. Just push it, and push it until you get there. And I'm also happy that we only not talk in terms of honest policies, we talk in terms of management, we talk in terms of everything, and even the issue of facilities, and accessibility of facilities, and where do we put up these facilities? That is also something which we have to look at. If people are going to a press conference, I think we are going to release you. The members are going to remain. We still have another meeting with SAFA, 1 o'clock. Today we will take you out for lunch, maybe to, I don't know when, so that is it to Sune and Pumzi. And the table for this, the people who will look at us. And let me also thank the department, also the department is going to be with us with SAFA, don't you? Yeah, I know that. This committee and that department, I don't know. I'm getting old. On that note, I think let's close this first session and let's take a break and thank you again, gentlemen.
Thank you. Yes. Just from our side, we would just like you for the opportunity also to brief you. We've found this in a long time and know really that our heart is in sports and yours are there too. And thanks for everybody for allowing us the opportunity to explain. I know there's a lot of gossip out there, and it's nice to actually tell exactly what's happened. From our side, from Cricket South Africa, we thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, when I was the organizer of the African National Congress, when I'm in December earlier, I go to the Indian police, and then I manage to get an injection.
Hey, my friend, my neighbor will send you to go back our end.
cannot be going on X. I'm going to buy a lot of my family.